Good morning. Well, it looks like it might be a small group of us this morning. So go ahead and unmute yourselves. We'll say hello and pray together before we get started, or to get started, I should say. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Robert.
Hi, Stephen. Always good to see you, my friend.
You too, Robert.
How's Amanda?
Oh, Allison.
Allison, sorry.
Yeah, my cousin.
How's Allison? Yes.
She's doing really good. She's on a chemo pill, I think every day. But the side effects have been minimal, so that's wonderful.
Good.
And that's her last thing she has to do. So
praise God. Praise God. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray together, everybody. Lord, we thank you so much that we get to gather together here on Zoom with you. We pray in the name of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ, that you fill this time with fellowship with one another and with you, with connection with one another and with you, and with your wisdom and insight for the days that we are living in. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray, we honor you, we bless you, we worship you, we want you, and we welcome you into this time together. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Oh, wait, amen. We got somebody coming in. Here we go. So, as you guys know, this month, our topic is the helmet of salvation in our mentoring audios, and I hope you're getting those. I apologize that we didn't get one out to you the very first week of this month. It's the first time that's happened. And to be perfectly blunt, both Patricia and I were overcoming a nasty bug that went around Maricopa. And I never want to make an excuse for illness or give place to illness because it's not our portion and we should always push back against it. We had been sort of running from event to event, and I know I'd been traveling a lot, doing some different media, promoting some new product that we had, a new book that we have. And I personally got a little run down, and that's when it hit me. And we were able to do it, but to be perfectly blunt, we were laughing at how horrible our voices sounded because we were so congested and so hoarse. So we missed one week, and I wanted to start out this month by apologizing to you for that. But I got one out last week. I know Patricia will this week, and I'll get another one out to you here the end of November. But I hope you are gearing up for the wonderful holiday season. I love Thanksgiving because it's such a celebration celebration and rejoicing in family and friends, but also in giving thanks to the Lord for all the blessings that are in our life. I actually was taking time this morning to do that. I know there's lots of challenges. We've got challenges in our family. We've got challenges in our state. We've got challenges in our nation. There are, I don't know that it's ever been a more important time, and this will bring me to the helmet salvation in a minute. I don't know that it's been a more important time to take advantage of the wisdom the Apostle Paul shares, where he tells us to set our mind on the things above and to think about the things that are lovely and pure and of good report. That doesn't mean we ignore the wickedness and the unrighteousness going on all around us. It means that we focus on the things of God and God himself in the midst of those things so that we can be positioned to deal with them. And so even this morning, I was taking time with the Lord to thank him for all the incredible blessings in my life, in my family, even getting over this bug and recovering health and strength. There's always so much that we can focus on and be grateful for. I was in Psalm 73, I think it is, this morning, and it's such a great psalm. If you're feeling any kind of discouragement or frustration over what's going on in the world, because as you read through it and pray through it, you realize you're not the first one to feel that way. You're not the first one to say, Lord, why are the wicked prospering? When will your retribution go? When will you make things right? When will you release revival and reformation on such a grand scale that everyone comes to know you? And he will, and he is, and he did at the cross. So Psalm 73 is great because you see others have wrestled with these things, but the place to be is always to come back focusing on him, knowing that he's in control. And something I've shared with you guys in the past that I only know it because God has to remind me of it, and then I get to remind our family about it. But it's that God really is still Lord Almighty, Lord Invincible in battle. And he asked me a question recently where he said, what if all of this is simply a setup? And I thought, that's really interesting, God. What if you're doing exactly what you've been talking to me about for the last year to 2 years? And I don't know if you guys ever have those moments with God where all of a sudden you go, oh, that's why you gave me that insight 6 months ago. Oh, that's why you gave me that strategy a year ago. Oh, I'm supposed to use it. And I've really been leaning into those things ever since, like, the prophetic word he gave me on December 31st of last year about how there was going to be a greater grace to shake off the things of the enemy and things of the flesh and focus on him. And I've been leaning into that lately. And then even remembering that no matter what, he's the Lord Almighty, the Lord Invincible in battle, remembering that when I have no idea what he's doing, it means he's up to something beyond my ability to understand. And that's actually exciting, not discouraging. And Psalm 73 really brings that home, or at least it did for me this morning. So I read through that, prayed through that, declared and decreed through that, gave thanks to him through all of that. That kind of recentered me and refocused me. And then I just spent time giving thanks to him for not only all the things he's done for me, Uri, for our family, for our Patricia King Ministries family, for Robert Hodgkin Ministries, Men on the Front Lines, Michelle Briquette Ministries, Voice for Victims, Women in Ministry Network, all our media, all our messages, all our resources, so many incredible things, all of our glorious partners, all of you, for our whole team and family. But even more, I was thanking him for who he is. Whether I'm seeing it or not seeing it, it is who he is. He is the Lord Almighty. He is invincible in battle. He is up to something. He is good. He is merciful. He is kind. He is wise. He is wiser than I am. So the very fact that I don't understand what's going on right now means he's doing something wise and wonderful. So that's one of the things I love about Thanksgiving. And then, of course, we come into Christmas and the celebration of the coming of our Messiah, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. And I know, and I don't think there is in our Patricia King Ministries family and all of you, but I know sometimes this time of year, there are Christians who get upset when they see us post a picture of a Christmas. Like Uri and I, we put up a Christmas tree in our home every year. And I know some people love to see that, and others are offended by it. And we do celebrate Christmas on December 25th. And I know there are many people, and they're not wrong, that talk about how that's really more than likely not when Jesus was born. It was something I think Constantinople did because it had been a pagan holiday, and he converted it or whatever. And Stephen, you probably know the details better than I do. You tend to be smarter about that stuff than I am, but or more studied on that stuff than I am. But that's the gist of it. And my take on it has always been, as born again, New Testament believers in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we should be celebrating his birth every day. We should be aware of and celebrating his coming every day. If there's a day on the calendar that historically our nation or our world for the most part has focused on him, let's embrace that. And if December 25th is not his actual birthday and it was a pagan holiday, well, I can tell you that I was a pagan, I was a heretic, I was all sorts of horrible things, and he redeemed me. So to my mind, and I'm just sharing my heart, he can redeem a date. And
yes,
I love that we celebrate him on December 25th. I love that we have a date that focuses on him. I love that there's a season when the world tends to focus on him. And there are and I know there's a lot of Christmas songs about Santa, and there's a lot of Christmas songs about snowmen, and there's a lot of Christmas songs about reindeer, but there's a lot of Christmas songs about Jesus that are playing in the shops and in the market and in all that, you know, even the speakers at the gas pump at some of the high-tech gas stations. And I rejoice in all of that, and I declare and pray into all of that, that he is being sent forth and his word is being sent forth, that his name is being sent forth. And I think if we don't, and I know, again, our Patricia King Ministries family doesn't do this, but I think if we would let go of bickering amongst each other about whether it's the right date or whether a Christmas tree is okay or not, because my feeling is I get the pagan roots of bringing the evergreen in the winter. I've looked into it. I've read a little bit about it. I'm no expert. But I also, we look at it as how our faith in God and our God in us and through us is evergreen. And we love that stuff. And we love having a Christmas tree. And it's a celebration. And there's a star on the top. And there's a cross on the tree. And there's all sorts of other decorations. But more than anything, we love that there is, you know, the creche over by the tree celebrating the manger and the birth of Christ. I think there's so much to be grateful for and focused on in this holiday season that it's not worth arguing about. And I know inside our family, we don't argue, but even for those, like when I post a picture of our Christmas tree on Instagram, and I get the occasional person who's very upset with me that we have a Christmas tree, or that there's superheroes on my Christmas tree. I think there'd be the same people that if I put an image of Jesus on my Christmas tree, they'd be upset about him being an ornament instead of my savior. So I think we're in a season in the world where there's such a spirit and culture of offense and victimhood right now that we need to have an extra grace, even for Christians who are offended about something and complaining and murmuring about something. I think we need to be like David. And I get so much encouragement out of this because there were giants strutting in the land, openly mocking God and his people. Most of the people whose job it was to defend the people of God were cowering on the sideline, the army of Israel. When David showed up to be a solution bringer and difference maker, he didn't take time to mock, to persecute, to murmur, or complain about the ones cowering on the sideline. He just went and dealt with the giant in the land that created the problem. If a Christian brother or sister murmurs and complains about something that you're doing right now, and you feel good about it before God, like, say, celebrating Christmas on December 25th, I encourage you, think about it from a forgive them, Father, that they know not what they do standpoint. Think about it from the standpoint of knowing you are saved and restored to relationship with God, and you can be as merciful and gracious with them as God has been with you. And think about it as it's a trap of the enemy to murmur and complain or attack or malign one another. Let's just deal with the powers and principalities, because that's where our might is. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Notice it doesn't say that they're mighty in God for the pulling down of our brothers and sisters who are in error. It's for the pulling down of strongholds that have trapped or lured or lied or tempted our brothers and sisters into error. And who knows, we might be in error one day. As Patricia always tells us, the nature of deception is you don't know you're deceived. So we don't need to be navel gazers. We just need to be aware that there could be something that I'm deceived on, and one day I'll wake up to it. And wouldn't it be wonderful if people were gracious enough to be loving and kind and go to war for me, not against me, but for me, so I am set free from that. So let's do that for others. What does this all have to do with the helmet of salvation? Well, as I've been meditating on that this month, to me, I think the helmet of salvation is one of the most important aspects of the armor of God. And I, obviously, when you look into it, all the armor of God is aspects of Jesus Christ. And I won't go into all that this morning, but I encourage you to begin to look at the aspects of the armor of God as actually aspects of what Jesus has won, done, and given us of himself, of his character, of his nature, of his righteousness, of his faith, of all of it. Of his peace. He's the Prince of Peace and the shoes of peace. But I think in many ways, the helmet of salvation may be the most important part. Obviously, it's all important. What are we without the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ that is the breastplate of righteousness? But the reason I say, as I've been meditating on the armor of God, as we've been doing this series month in and month out, as I was meditating on the helmet of salvation this month, it really struck me that the helmet of salvation is what allows us to think as a saved person, as a saved son, as a saved daughter. And what is salvation? Obviously, it's the restoration of a relationship to our Heavenly Father and all of his kingdom here in the earth. It allows us to do what we started with, where the Apostle Paul was telling us, focus on these things, think about these things. It doesn't mean we ignore the other things, but it means we think about God, who our God is, what our God has given us. We think about how he's worthy of praise. We think about who he is and what he's like as much as what he's doing, even more than what's going on in the earth. Because when we choose to think about things from the perspective of we are saved, which means we have been given provision, protectance, wisdom, guidance, salvation, all of it. All of a sudden now, we're thinking from that third heaven perspective. We're warring from that place of victory. We're living from that place of victory. We're thinking and choosing to have thoughts and feelings that line up with that we have the victory of the finished work of the cross and the empty tomb because we are saved. And now we deal with things from the victory. We deal with things from the salvation. We deal with things from the fullness of his goodness that is his sozo, body, soul, and spirit. And when we think about it that way, we can shake off whether it's bitterness, offense, frustration, discouragement, despair. When we're dealing with legitimate things, like we talked about last month, one of the scriptures God has really been highlighting to me this whole year is in the Isaiah 60 opportunity that many of us prophetic voices are declaring that we're in. I think one of the most important scriptures that God has certainly been highlighting to me is verse 2, where not in every translation, but in my 96 New Living and a few others, I love that verse 2 starts with, "Behold, darkness in the earth and deep darkness on the people." It doesn't say ignore it. It doesn't say be afraid of it, discouraged by it, stick your head in the sand, wait it out. You know, it says, behold it. Why? Because we're here to deal with it. It says, darkness in the earth, deep darkness on the people. Be aware of it, but also be aware the kingdom of God will arise in you. The glory of the Lord will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. When we are living from knowing we have the helmet of salvation, that's not just to protect our head against blows of the enemy, but much more, I think, it's about covering our thoughts. So superseding, supernaturaling, right? Supernatural literally means above and beyond the natural. So our natural carnal soulish reaction might be, oh my gosh, look at what's going on. Look at the darkness in the earth and the deep darkness on the people. Look at the darkness in our government and the deep darkness on our Congress. This is so discouraging. This is so frustrating. This is irritating. That might be natural, but the supernatural that comes over and above, that supersedes and is above and actually does work to protect us, is the mind of Christ that is the helmet of salvation. When we think about things, knowing we are in the fullness of relationship with our Heavenly Father and all of his kingdom, not based on what's in front of us, but based on what he's done for us to help us deal with what's in front of us. So I wanted to share that because I think it's so pivotal. It's so key. It's so important right now because the enemy is working. I don't know about you. I'll say with me, it feels like the enemy is working overtime to push every one of my buttons. And I feel like occasionally I let him. And then I have to stop and go, no, wait, that's not thinking about things from a kingdom perspective, knowing I have the certainty of sonhood, knowing that I am in relationship with, I am covered by, I am guided by, I am guarded by, I am protected by, I am provided for by my God, who is almighty, who is invincible in battle. The enemy is not winning. The Lord, I think I said this just a little while ago. I'll circle back to it and then we'll get to you guys. The Lord asked me a question recently where he said, what if this is all a setup? What if this is like Exodus 14? What if it looks like the enemy winning and advancing is simply Pharaoh and his troops amassing so that you can see them and they can be dealt with? Now you will see them and it will look like they're advancing and massing upon you, just like in Exodus 14. The Israelites, the people of God, saw the enemy coming, saw the enemy massing, saw the enemy advancing, saw the strength of the enemy. And let's get real, the enemy does have strength, but he doesn't have authority. Jesus Christ has been given all the authority in all the heavens and all the earth. So does the enemy have power? Yes, but it's nothing compared to our God, who has all authority, is almighty, and is invincible in battle. The Israelites saw the enemy, but what they didn't see was that God had placed a fiery hedge of protection where they could see the enemy, but the enemy could not touch them. And ultimately, it was all to get them with God, in God, and for God, by his power, in his authority, to his glory, to deal with the enemy completely, utterly, and totally. I think that's the hour that we're in. I think we're in an Isaiah 60 opportunity. We have to choose to arise. What does that look like? Well, arising is active. We have to choose to arise. We have to choose to come up above our natural reactions, our carnal reactions, our soul reactions. We have to choose to come up above the report of the day, the reactions of our flesh. Because when we do, the glory of God will appear upon us. The nations will come to our light. Kings will come to the brightness of our rising. Why? Why do we arise and shine? For our light has come. That's the helmet of salvation. Thinking, remembering, focusing on, despite what I'm seeing going on in the earth today, I'm not to be discouraged. I'm to be encouraged, not by those things, but by the fact that I am in my God, with my God. My God has me. My God's for me. God is for my nation. God is for his kingdom plans and purposes in this nation. He's not against us. He's with us, and he's for his plans and purposes, and he's greater than anything the enemy is doing. So then Moses says, hey, stand still and you will see God fight for you. And God basically says to Moses, I like your moxie, but I'm bringing a little correction. I will fight for you. I have fought for you. I will win this battle, but you do have a role to play. Stretch forth your hand, extend the staff, and speak to the situation as I tell you to speak. He was saying, remember our encounter at the burning bush, where I reminded you who I am, I reminded who you are, and I supernaturally empowered you to deal with whatever would come against the fulfillment of my promises that you are walking in and coming fully into. And when Moses does that, the Red Sea parts, the Israelites go across on dry ground, completely impossible, on dry ground, not just made a way, but the ground was even supernaturally dry, just like that. You know, I grew up going to the shore in the summers as a kid, and I loved to play in the surf, especially right by the beach when I was little. And I would stand there as a little kid, and when the waves come in, you know, there's like this hydraulic pulling back of the wave once it comes in. And so when the wave comes in and then it pulls out, it actually draws out, and you would stand there. And because the sand is still wet, as the wave drew out, it would actually draw some of the wet sand under your feet, and standing still, doing nothing, eventually your feet are buried in the wet sand. So when water draws back, the sand is still very wet. This water of the Red Sea drew back, and immediately it was supernaturally dry. The Israelites go across, and then, this is my favorite part lately, then when they get across, the Red Sea comes in, and it says the enemy was completely, utterly, and totally destroyed. So at the beginning of Exodus 14, what looked like an amassing of the enemy in its power, strength, and aggression was actually a setup that if we focus on God, listen to God, remember who we are in God, remember who our God is, remember who he is with us, for us, in us, and through us, and how he supernaturally empowered us, because we have something much better than that staff of Moses. We have the cross of Calvary. When we remember that, now we can behold what the enemy's doing. Praise God that he's with us, that he's protecting us. Even if a hit gets in, even if we come down with a nasty bug, that doesn't mean the enemy's winning. That means, I know for me, it really helped me focus on no sickness is my portion, and I will focus on supernatural health and strength through Christ. Now you could say, what good did it do you? It took you 2 weeks to get over the bug. I don't pretend to understand that, but I've come out of this season more aware that no bug, no sickness, even if I'm run down and it's just a natural thing that happened, is not my portion. And I focused on supernatural health, supernatural strength, the quickening of my immune system, and that every sickness and disease must bow. And I gave God praise that I've, as you guys know, I've gone through a decade plus of sickness. 2 weeks, I didn't like it. I was frustrated by it at times, but I'd shake that frustration off. Remember who my God is. Remember who I am. Remember his promises. Focus on those. Let those be empowered in me. Let them be released through me. And for all I know, every one of my neighbors up and down the street was instantaneously healed of a sinus infection or a viral bug because I was focusing on the truth, declaring the truth. So that's the helmet of salvation to my mind. It's not only this helmet that protects us from getting hits in from the enemy to ding us in the head and knock us out. And it does that. But more importantly, I think it's our connecting to the mind of Christ that we've been given and choosing to think as a son, as a daughter of our Father in heaven, as a bride of Christ, remembering who our God is, what he's done, what he's given us, who he is, what he's like, and remembering who we are and how he supernaturally empowered us to the finished work of the cross and the empty tomb. I think as we do that, we're going to see more and more things come to pass that are truly supernatural. I don't know that we'll see them immediately. We might, but I know that we'll see them because that's the kingdom of God. That's living in victory, living from victory. And I believe everything we're going through right now as a people and a nation is a divine setup. Does that mean I am declaring that the United States of America will be revived, reformed, and renewed and 100% serving God before the end of next year? I'm not declaring that. I'm not even 100% sure that's going to happen. That's what I'm believing for. That's what I'm declaring. But I know this, as we focus on everything I've talked about this morning and refocus on it and choose to shake off the reactions of our flesh and the report of the world and all of those false comforts and familiar spirits of discouragement, despair, frustration, irritation, anger, the traps of the enemy that we want to rationalize and justify because we're seeing all the wickedness and saying, why do the wicked seem to prosper? This isn't right. If we shake all that off, then ultimately what will happen is no matter what happens to the nation, and let's continue to contend for the nation. God's not done with the United States of America. He loves this nation. He loves your nation. Continue to contend. That's what we're here to do. I'm telling you, however, no matter what we see in any given moment or any given year for our nation, as we choose to live this way, think this way, we will be part of his remnant and we will be Abraham's, Isaac's, Jacob's, and who did I leave out? Abraham, Isaac, I feel like I left one out. Sorry, as I said, I've been under the weather until just basically today. So no, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I got all three of them. Thank you, Stephen. We will be like them, and we will prosper in every way we need to prosper, no matter what's going on in the world. Amen. Amen. All right, let's throw things open to you. Feedback, thoughts, prayer requests, just a hello. I love this time we get to gather together. So let's start up in the upper left corner and we'll go around the clock, as it were. Steve and Shelley, my wonderful friend, how are you?
Hey, Robert. Two things. It's interesting you mentioned the Red Sea moment. I've been following The Chosen, the show, The Chosen.
Yeah.
And all the little extra videos they do of how filming is going and how they're doing. Dallas calls them Red Sea moments. For example, they were trying to film like on a lake and it was way too foggy. And just at the right moment, God lifted supernaturally the fog and they had the best shot ever after the end of the day when the lighting was even better. You know, it was those kind of setups that you were talking about. So Red Sea moments. I love that. Right, the other on. Thing I had to ask is, how did West Coast Man Camp go?
We didn't do a West Coast. We did a Southwest.
Okay.
And the Southwest event went great. We did a Heroes Arise event. So it was a day and a half instead of the full weekend retreat, just because we didn't have a place that we felt great about going to, but we had a great time. We had, gosh, I don't know, about 50 guys, something like that. And Sergio Scataglini blew things up the first night. Ryan Johnson came in. I was obviously there. Francisco Arboleda, Dustin Williams, and then Jerry Irvin, our final session. He shared his testimony of being raised from the dead. And then we ministered resurrection power to the guys. And the coolest thing happened. Again, total God, divine setup, Red Sea moment. Yeah. We had a storm. Like, as we were declaring a release from heaven, there was this sign of the natural of one of the most powerful thunderstorms I've ever experienced in the desert in 20 years of living here. And it thundered and lightning and roared with rain coming down. There were lightning strikes on the property. One of the transformers blew out and we lost all the power in the building, all the lights, everything. And the guys didn't stop worshiping and praising God. And we did it by the light of our mobile phones. And yeah. Benjamin Dietrich was leading us in worship. And that went on for, I don't know how long, 40, 45 minutes. It was, it was really just abandoned worship to God. And was an incredible ending to a great, great weekend event. So thanks for asking. You were missed, Stephen, but I'm hoping you'll be at our East Coast event this in March. I think we've got the date set. Oh, and that was one thing I meant to mention at the top. Sorry, guys. Our December webinar has been set. And I don't have the dates in front of me. I'm so sorry. I was scrambling to get on. That's why I was a few minutes late. But it's oh, you do. Thank you, Stephen. And this is an extended one. We're doing it 3 evenings 1 week and 2 evenings the next. So it's a big present to everybody at the end of the year. We're going to do the full The Victorious Soul course. It's December, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I didn't put it in my phone yet. Okay.
I don't know.
If you go to patriciakingministries.com, you'll see the link for it. You'll see the banner for it. Definitely if you go to the events page. But it's let me pull up my calendar real quick. I'll have it on there. Just a sec. It's December 5th, 6th, and 7th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And then that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday evening. And then the next week, Monday and Tuesday, December 12th and 13th, also at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And of course, they're free. But you got to sign up for them so you get the links to the private YouTube channel when we do them on. But or Restream, however it works. I think I do it on Restream and then Shelly and Dustin put it out on a private YouTube channel. They give you the link for. The good news is, though, as always, you can also do it on demand later. So you can join us live when you can, watch on demand later. We're going to do the entire Victorious Soul, all about how to live in the more of God, live in victory. Never been more important than these days that we're living in. So thank you for asking about the Heroes Arise event, Stephen, and for jarring my memory to remind you of the webinar. I hope you guys were able to see the Watchman Anointing webinar that Patricia and Benjamin Dietrich did. If not, you can email, support at patriciaking.com, and Shelly will get you guys the links to that because we still have the links. Mm-hmm. Sang, how are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you so much about talking about Exodus 14, that enemy is coming and advancing, that Israelites saw that enemy is coming and advancing, but did not see that God has put hedge of fire for protection. That's such an encouraging word, as well as sharing Psalm 73 when we have this courage. I mean, we all go through those moments, and thanks for sharing that Psalm 73 to encourage us. Thank you.
I really want to encourage you and all of us that you're right. We all go through it. You know, you've heard me say this many times over the years. Jesus's favorite place to meet us is exactly where we are. The key is we need to be willing to be there. And I know, I will just speak for me. Early on in ministry, especially as one of the leaders of our ministry for years, and having Patricia as a spiritual mother, a mentor, a friend, an incredible example who to this day, 20 years in, I'm still learning from all the time. I know it used to be, especially early days, when I'd get discouraged or frustrated, I almost feel like I can't admit this. I'm supposed to be a leader. And God really helped me understand I can't meet you where you are unless you're willing to be there. And I have never once in all my years of overcoming debilitating sickness, in moments of frustration and discouragement about what's going on in my nation and state, I have never once met with God and been real and if I'm willing to let go of those emotions and not rationalize and justify them, I've never not had him. He's always shifted me back into that place of really, really expectant hope and faith and even joy. And I experienced it this week where there were some things I was discouraged by, but I met with him and said, Lord, I don't understand. I don't see you moving. And praying through Psalm 73, as I said, sang, and coming out of it, so filled with hope and joy and expectation, knowing he's up to something. So I'm glad it was an encouragement to you. I think we all have to be real that, as you said, right, we're all going to wrestle right with those things at times. And the best place to go with them is right to Jesus.
Amen.
Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Okay. In another season of life, but I'm doing all right. I've been working on a book for a while, so I've been doing that.
Excellent.
I like, you know, what all you shared there, when you're talking about the God saying it was a setup, remind me of, I had listened to an update of Torben Sondergaard. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard the name. I don't know him personally, but I have heard the name.
Well, he was the guy that was from Denmark, I think it was, and did a lot of street ministry, raising the dead and all that. And he was being persecuted some way over in the Denmark. So he ended up coming to the States. It was ended up in California, and he was called to Florida for, he thought it was for paperwork to make him more legal. And he ended up in prison, you know, under false pretenses. Wow. And he's been there for a month. So I thought of the original video that he had done from there, but there was this update. This is like, no matter what the enemy was planning, you don't put someone like Torben in the midst of a prison and not expect for the kingdom of heaven to come. And so there's all these people that are, I mean, there's even like a language barrier, because I think a lot of them are Spanish speaking people where he's at. So they don't even hardly understand each other, but there's people coming to the Lord. There's Bible studies. There's just like a whole transformation of that prison while he is there, you know? So again, it's just like a setup, you know, that God took him where he needed to go. So I just thought that was really encouraging me to hear that yesterday. So
what's the topic of your book that you're working on, Kathy?
It's called Follow the Song, and it's about, it'll be part of it. I had to divide into three books, you know, but it's about the beginning of learning to live and walk by the Spirit. So my target audience is those who have, like, kind of grew up in the church like I did, where that part wasn't understood, you know, and so, yeah, so that's why I'm almost writing the first book, and then I can go back through and actually make sure it flows okay
right
and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, Lord, we declare a great grace over Kathy for the finishing of the writing and of the editing. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the best author ever. You wrote mm-hmm. the best-selling book of all time, the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. And we thank you that you're in Kathy, you're with Kathy, and we even ask for angelic assignments. Her mind will be like the pen of a ready writer, and it will flow and be everything you want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good for you, Kathy. Marlene, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. And there was a word you said that sparked a memory, and it was the word deception. And because I could write a book on deception, because I was first involved with the Jehovah Witnesses, and then God delivered me from that. And then I got involved for about 7 years with a cult in the States. And it was very disastrous, very detrimental. Even the leaders ended up by being imprisoned. And it did a great deal of harm, especially to my daughter, whom I'm still believing God for her salvation.
Amen.
But, you know, that's 30 years ago. And God has so delivered me. And so established me in the truth. And I have to really thank Patricia King Ministries, because I've been involved with that for 10 years now. And God's really used you folks to minister to me, to build me up. And when she comes to this part of Canada, when she comes to Lethbridge, I'd make sure I'm there.
Good.
And so I just want to tell you that her, your ministry has been a blessing to me over these years. Oh. It's established me in the truth. And I've really, through you especially, learned how to do warfare. And how do you, like Ephesians 6 has become a reality to me.
Come on.
You know, I mean, how to wear the whole armor of God. Because that's why I'm here talking to you. Is because of what God's done in my life and through the power of the word and the armor of God and through the might and power of Jesus Christ and anointed ministry that is used to pour into my life.
Amen. Marlene, you're a champion. And thank you so much for being a blessing to us for 10 years now and for being on the front lines and the watchtower in Canada. Obviously, we love Canada very much. Patricia and Ron obviously are from there, still have their citizenship there. They're citizens in the U.S., but I don't understand how it works, but I guess you can have dual citizenship. And we have a great love for Canada. And thank you so much for the blessing you've been to us. And for that, I've known you for years now, Marlene, and I did not know about that background with you. It just makes me admire you and appreciate you all the more. What a champion you are. What a champion you are. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and you can fish anytime in the rivers of Fernie here.
I love Fernie. When I lived in Montana, Fernie was I'd come up to the fish Fernie every summer. I bought a Canadian fishing license every summer because I'd fish the Elk River up there almost as much as I fished the Swan, which was my home rivers. So I may take you up on that one day. I don't think I'll be able to convince my wonderful wife to come with me because she does not like the wilderness the way I do. But I've been wanting, it's been 20 years since I've been fly fishing and I have so many happy memories on the Elk River.
Well, you come to Fernie and I'll tell you there'll be a conference.
I'm going to try to make that happen maybe even next summer and I will reach out to you. I can't remember the name of the little tiny motel I used to stay at, but I'll try to come up and do some fishing. And if I do, I will reach out to you and hopefully Mocha Joe's is still there where I can get my morning good cup of coffee. But if not, I'm sure there's plenty of others.
Yes, right on. You're welcome.
Thank you, Marlene. Hi, Donna.
Hi. How are you? Yeah, it's good to see you, Robert. I'm glad
to see you too, my friend.
You're healthy and being able to talk to us. That's super great. Like that.
Amen.
You know, for me, everything is going really pretty good. I have been doing some speaking. You know, I had wrote a book, and then I have been speaking to ladies and especially just encouraging them that. They can do things, older people especially, you know, and encourage them. You have choices to make, and you need to choose to get out there and serve the Lord because you're never too old to do that. And so things are going really good there. I got a word from Jody Hughes about 2 weeks ago on her Zoom call about my family because my children are so disconnected. Mm-hmm. And she said that the Lord was going to bring them, you know, together. And so that's what I'm claiming is for unity
because of
my family, because there's been a lot of disunity, but with what she prayed and stuff, I'm just standing on that promise from God. So
amen.
That's
well, Donna, I think you're one of the best examples of what I talked about today. You wear that helmet of salvation. You choose to think from the mind of Christ again and again and again, no matter what. And you are a champion and you are empowering other champions. And I actually really love that you feel called to your generation to break that lie of retirement. It's all downhill from here because you're a great example of there's still so much to do, so much to give, and so many victories to win. Way to go, Donna.
Yeah. And I just a little side note, I did turn 80 this summer. And it's, you know, in the Bible, the 80 is a time where a lot of them started, you know. And so I know that God has a new adventure and I'm just excited to see what he has for me. So. Anyway.
Lord, we agree with that. And we bless Donna to walk with you as Moses did, to walk with you as Caleb did, that she will be a deliverer of her generation as an 80-year-old, just as Moses stepped into being a deliverer of his people as an 80-year-old. She will take every mountain you have for her, and we declare as her days are, so shall her strength be, and her witness and her testimony will be that of Caleb's, that she's as strong at 80 as she was at 40, and she's going to take every mountain And Lord, even as I think it was Caleb had daughters that served you, we proclaim that blessing over Donna and her whole family, that where there's been division and disunity, Lord, there'll be a coming together in you, with you, and for you. We declare the banner over their household, family, and bloodline and generations is love, and that it is you, and that you are doing a work in that family, generations, and bloodline to bring unity in you with one another. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks so much, Donna.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Wendy, I can't see you, but I see your name. And oh, wait, you're gone. Oh, wait, no, you're back. If by any chance you can unmute, Wendy, we're kind of going around the horn here. We'd love to hear from you, but if not, that's okay. Oh, there you are. Hi.
Hey. You know, I came on a little bit late, but you were talking about Christmas and, you know, that some people get offended about the 25th of December and all this. And many years ago, Robert, I was on a trip with you guys. You were leading a trip in Pattaya, Thailand. And the hotel, they played Christmas music for us every single morning when we had the buffet breakfast. And I was just remembering, I think it was maybe September or October, sometime like that. It wasn't anywhere near Christmas. But they played this Christmas music because they wanted to honor us. And they knew that we were Christians. So therefore, they were playing Christmas music every morning. And it was just fantastic. I don't know if you remember this, or maybe they do it all the time. I've only been with you guys once.
No, you're spot on, Wendy. And I'm so glad you told that story, because I almost did. I tell that story all over the world when I talk about Christmas, because I asked them once about it. Because not only your trip, every trip. So in March, they do it. In June, they do it. In September, they do it. And I finally said something to them. I can't remember what I asked, but it was basically, hey, we love this. Do you guys in Thailand, do you celebrate Christmas? And they didn't really know it was Christmas music. They thought it was Christian music. And you're 100% right. They did it the entire time we were there to honor us, because not just because we came in and we rented rooms, but because they said the entire staff looked forward to our events, because people like Wendy Russell were so kind, so loving, so generous with tipping the chambermaids, and zero problems, and obviously zero unrighteousness that goes on in some of those hotels. They loved when we came. And Wendy, you're right. They just knew the name Jesus was in a lot of those songs, so they thought it was Christian music. So thank you for sharing that. It's so cool.
Yeah.
So when we hear in the malls that Christmas music, and we, you know, people want to go, they don't even know what they're in. It's all about, just say, no, the name of Jesus is going forth. And we're grateful that whether they know it or not, he is being honored in this place.
Yeah, it was just it was so beautiful. So now I always liked Christmas music, but now when I hear it, and, you know, in the US, you know, they say, well, oh, Christmas is starting so much earlier, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, it's okay. It's good. Jesus is king. You know, so I'm just enjoying that time of year. This is my 4-year-old. You want to say hi?
Hi, buddy.
Okay, he's in hiding mode. But yeah, that's all I wanted to share for now.
I think that's great. Now, do you ever get cravings for like brown rice and eggs for breakfast, or that wonderful fruit for breakfast when you hear Christmas music? Because I will sometimes. I'll hear certain songs and it'll take me back, and I'll think, I really want that tea, that rice, and all that. And I want some dragon fruit right now, please. Because every morning I had the same breakfast, a bowl of rice with fruit and a bowl of rice with two fried eggs on top.
All right. Well, blessings. Thanks for letting me say hi.
Oh, we love seeing you, Wendy. Thanks for sharing. Hi, Eddie and Caroline. How are you guys?
Hi, sorry we're late, but we got the time difference wrong.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Arizona doesn't change its clocks.
No, we didn't know that.
Half the year we're Pacific, half the year we're Mountain. I've lived here for 20 years. I still get confused, so you're totally forgiven.
Well, there was still an 8-hour time difference for Patricia's healing meeting on Sunday, so we thought it would still be 8 hours. But anyway, it's 7 now.
Yeah, It should have been, because it changed like 2 weeks ago, which means we switched from Pacific to Mountain like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well.
I don't know. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, thank you for praying for me last time. It made the huge difference. From the moment you prayed for me, I stopped feeling grief. And this last weekend, we've had a team from Catch the Fire at Dudley. And it was just amazing. The river was flowing again, you know. And I think Caroline was being touched.
Good. Now, I ministered at Catch the Fire Wembley quite a bit, but I not Dudley. Who's the team in Dudley?
Well, it's Trevor and Sharon, Revival Fires. Oh, but we had right a on. Team. We had a team from Toronto. It was Toronto, wasn't it?
Mm. I think they're in North Carolina, but they were in Toronto.
Somebody called Dan.
Dan Slade and okay. Duncan Smith.
Awesome. I love Catch the Fire. I actually just sent Mary Audrey Raycroft an email this morning, and she was one of the people that was part of the original outpouring. She's in her 80s now. She's still just such a champion. I love what I don't know John and Carol nearly as well as I know. I don't hardly know them at all. But I know Mary Audrey really well, and she's just a gem among gems. I love Catch the Fire and all the people that have come out of Toronto carry such incredible fullness of God's goodness. So that's wonderful that you guys got to experience that. And I'm so glad you got touched.
Yeah, I feel like I still feel terrible. So I've had chronic fatigue for 15 and a half years for everybody else. But I just got out of bed to come here. That's why I was cold. But as you've seen Joan Hunter pray for chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia so many times, there's always trauma behind it. And I always knew that there was trauma. And when Dan prayed for me Saturday and Sunday, both times, I couldn't stop shaking and screaming for about half an hour. And luckily, it's the kind of church where you can scream for half an hour and no one minds. They just carry on. And I'm there like,
I wasn't there.
She wasn't there. Exactly. Missed it. But it felt like I shook all the trauma off. So I was hoping to be completely healed. I still feel really, really tired. But it's more like normal tiredness rather than feeling like death all of the time.
Yeah.
So I feel like, halfway.
And I'm not here to tell you how God's going to do his business. But you know my testimony. For you guys don't know, we adore Caroline. She was an intern with us. She's been gracious enough to stay in contact with us over the years. We've been praying for her. We love her whole family. And she's been an incredible champion all these years. And I know you know my story. And my story was a progression to where all of a sudden, and I'm still progressing, but I look back. Even when I was under the weather for a couple of weeks, and I admit I got frustrated at one point, and Yuri was like, honey, it's a bug. You're getting through it. You're not back in the old days. I was like, you're right. So I had to shake that trauma. God even used that, Caroline, to where I discovered there was still some trauma from 12 years of illness where I went into a fear place of, what if this isn't just a bug? What if this, and God used that to help me. So there's layers, and increase. So Lord, we honor you for what you did for Caroline through this wonderful ministry and the wonderful ministers. And Lord, we thank you that you have begun this incredible good work in her, and she's acknowledging it and she's praising you for it. We thank you that all the trauma got shaken off. You said you will shake everything that can be shaken, so the eternal kingdom, the unshakable kingdom will be revealed. So Lord, we thank you that now the eternal, unshakable kingdom of health, vigor, and vitality is arising and shining and being revealed in her. We speak to every cell of her body and we say, be energized now in Jesus's name. Chronic fatigue, go now in Jesus's name. Go now in Jesus's name. Bow in the mighty name of Jesus, and health and life and an abundance of vigor and vitality arise. We speak to the fire of God in every fiber of her being, every cell of her body, every system, every organ, every gland. And we say, burn brighter and hotter and higher with life and health and strength, the vigor and vitality that is her portion in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for increase. In your mighty name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Hey, I'm sorry. My phone is blowing up all of a sudden. And here we are right at 10 o'clock. And there's some things going on that I need to address. So I'm going to pray us out. And I want to thank all of you so much for being here, taking time with us. You know, I say it every month, but I mean it every time I say it. I always look forward to this. And I love these times because we get to hear each other, but also see our faces. So thank you for taking time to be with us. Thank you for taking time to share and to share your stories and the things that you're celebrating and also walking through. Lord, thank you that you have blessed this ministry family. You are our Heavenly Father. Thank you that as we gather together in your name, we not only hear your wisdom as we hear from one another, but we receive directly from you. We honor you as the head of this ministry. We bless Patricia as the organizational head serving directly under you, and we all receive from her. But I know she says this herself, Jesus, you are the head above all of us, and we honor you, your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you for this time we got with one another and with you in the name of your Son, setting the table in your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Have a wonderful Amen. Thanksgiving this month to all the Americans, to all of you who are not Americans. Choose on that Thursday to be an American and or not to be a kingdom, to be a kingdoman and give thanks and glory to God, because we can do that every single day. I love you. Patricia, love you. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. God bless you guys. See you next month.
Bless you. Bye.